African growth has hit a seven-year high, expanding at its fastest pace since 2012 and at a rate second to Asia. With that, the African Development Bank has forecast growth accelerating to 4% this year from last year's 3.5%. And it's something that car manufacturer Toyota South Africa is looking to leverage off. CEO Andrew Kirby says its export numbers are already telling off the growth story.
Although we've seen a drop in vehicle sales in South Africa, we've seen an increase in exports. And from a Toyota point of view, we're quite pleased that our exports into Africa are starting to show some positive signs as well, although off a very low base. We saw some fairly reasonable exports in Africa from about 2012, dropped dramatically all the way to a very low base in 2016. From there, we've seen some marginal improvements, but orders for this year are around 30% up.
That was Andrew Kirby, CEO of Toyota South Africa, pointing to the fact that South Africa is not contributing to African growth in any meaningful way, and that it, along with Nigeria, is weighing on the growth the continent could be clocking, with the hubs contributing half of Africa's GDP. Tace Lowe, who's Assistant Portfolio Manager for Emerging Market Fixed Income at Investec, joins us on the line now with greater perspective on this entire growth picture. Thanks so much, Tace, for your time this evening. So what are you making of the quality of growth that we're seeing come through at the moment? Because we know that the commodity story and that as a growth driver has left these economies vulnerable in the past, and the growth we're seeing now coinciding yet again with a recovery in commodity prices.
Thanks a lot for having me on. I completely agree. It's very much a commodity story at the moment, because since 2016, you've had two-speed recovery. You've had oil importers continuing to grow relatively well, around 4.5% to 5%. But the big dent, and this calls into what Toyota CEO is saying, is that since 2016, we've seen countries like Nigeria and Angola experience deep recessions. And the growth recovery we're seeing is largely a function of its effects and that of the oil price recovering. I think the quality of growth is still relatively poor in places like Nigeria. We need to see more reforms to really get the private sector going. Although we do agree with the African Development Bank that prospects look slightly better, it's still tough to say that Africa's broken the cyclicality of growth we've seen before.
Yeah. Nigeria, as you say, still struggling to reduce some of its oil dependence, and it, along with South Africa, struggling to gain any significant or meaningful growth momentum. How much are those economies, Tace, right now detracting and costing overall growth in the region?
I think in terms of the actual growth impact on the rest of the economies, it's actually quite low, because intra-Africa trade is very low. So from an overall perspective, yes, if you look at SSA growth, it's being weighed down by Nigeria and South Africa. So if you exclude those two economies, you'd probably have growth around 4% for the region, and that is only second to Asia. But in terms of the impact that a country like Nigeria has on the growth prospect in Ivory Coast or Senegal, it's actually quite low.
Yeah.
And you've seen that these economies can detach over periods, as we saw in 2016 in the oil price correction.
Tace, I asked the question because, you know, what makes one wonder if things are as straightforward is that we've had the African Development Bank president highlighting that Nigeria's growth rate, sitting at, 1.9%, yes, is low, but improved from that recessionary position that we saw back in 2016, and saying that, these improved growth rates are going to see countries like Côte d'Ivoire, Senegal hit their over 7% GDP growth rate. So there is some positive spillover effect to take into consideration here.
Sure. I think there is definitely, in terms of sentiment towards the region, in terms of if a country like Nigeria does well, people reconsidering investment going into West Africa, I think there's definitely a knock-on effect. But countries like Senegal, they've been growing above 6.5% over the last 3 years, even though Nigeria has shown very meager growth. And also in terms of the recovery in Nigeria, the one thing we need to take into account is the fact that at 2%, they're still only experiencing flat real GDP per capita growth. I mean, we'd start to get excited if Nigeria starts hitting the 3-4% at least kind of growth where you can see real GDP per capita growth.
Do you see those kind of targets being hit, Tace? Because some have deemed the 2019 general election successful, and seeing the government's commitment to the implementation of its economic recovery growth plan as a step in the right direction. How optimistic are you feeling? Are you convinced?
Not convinced yet. I do agree with the assertion that coming in when Buhari's first term, he was hit by a triple threat of lower oil prices, you had security issues in the Delta and in the North, and then, of course, his health. And so it's taken them about 4 years to really get to grips with all those issues. They have this Economic Growth and Recovery Plan Act. I think on paper, it is a very reasonable and good plan that they can implement it. But in terms of execution so far, it's been incredibly poor. So I think we would need to see a bit more action before we get excited about the growth prospect.
Very much like South Africa's very many, many blueprints on the table. I want to hone in very quickly on East Africa because it's standing yet again as the fastest expanding region for a fifth straight year. What's behind that, Tace? Because we know that region not as commodity dependent.
Yes, I think it's a function of the reforms that countries like Kenya and Uganda have put in place to attract private sector investment, to ensure that the economies have sustainable levels of growth. In a country like Kenya, they've been able to sustain 4.5 to 5% through different oil prices because companies are looking to invest into Kenya. Mm-hmm. And even though they're looking to consolidate on the fiscal at the moment, and that would mildly detract from growth, I think we're still relatively optimistic that they can sustain 4.5 to 5% growth rates.
You touched on investment flows to a degree there, Tace. Just taking a look at impact on investment flows overall, because liquidity has been a big detractor, especially in a volatile, uncertain economic climate. And one wonders whether the growth the other economies are seeing right now are providing incentive enough for investors to veer away from the traditional regional hubs.
I think there is a push, but I don't think it's large enough yet. I think people are still scarred by the kind of liquidity issues which you mentioned, which we saw in Nigeria and Egypt to a certain extent. So people, in terms of going down the liquidity curve, I don't think there's the appetite yet. Although you can see, talking to some of our clients, that people are looking in that direction, but not pulling the trigger.
Well, let's leave it there, Tace. Thanks so much for having joined us on the line this evening. Tace Lowe is Assistant Portfolio Manager for Emerging Market Fixed Income at Investec.